First Corinthians in chapter 12. We're looking at the moving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And I'm going to share something with you that's just straight from my heart. Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I won't have you ignorant. Now, we've been looking at the moving of the Spirit. And the moving of the Spirit in the earth. And we saw it from Genesis. That why do the old Pentecostals, charismatics, why charismatic, why do they use the word moving of the Spirit? And we saw it. Flowing with the Spirit. Because we said that the work of God's Spirit in the earth is just like water. Genesis 1, 2. And Genesis 2 from verse 9, 10, 11 to 14. Now pay attention to that. Jesus also used water quite a number of times. John 3, verse 5. John 4, verse 10 to 14. And of course, John 7, verse 36 to 38 and 39. So we saw that earlier. Now look at what Paul says. He says, concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. A believer must not be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. It's an area of our lives we can't afford to be ignorant. Now, the word ignorant there by Paul is to decide to not know. You are just not concerned. And there are Christians who are like that. When we talk about the things of the Spirit, the movings of the Spirit, they are just ignorant. Paul says, I will not have you ignorant. Now, if you read chapter 14, he deals with how there will be somebody who is not a believer or an ignorant believer who will say, are you mad? Or will say, he doesn't know what you're talking about. Now, usually you will find believers who will take sides with non-believers on the things of the Spirit because they are equally ignorant. You just take sides with an unsaved person. Because both of them look unsaved. One is unsaved, one is saved, but the one that is saved doesn't look like he's saved in the way he thinks. So, we need to know. I told you, I've taught you over the years, there are different kinds of meetings. If we say we're having a prayer meeting, you should know what we're talking about. Well, we have different kinds of meetings. We have teaching services where all we do, for what we do primarily is just teach the word. You just teach the word. We have what we call prayer meetings. We come together and just pray. They are like that in Scripture. Different kinds of meetings. A local assembly has those kind of meetings. We also have what you have called the outreach meetings. We call them evangelistic meetings, where we take the word of God to the unsaved. And it's a meeting. So why is that a meeting? Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name. Matthew 18, 20. So if I go and preach to someone, are we gathered in his name? That's a meeting. We now have healing meetings, where we just minister to those who are sick in the body. We pray for them. We minister to them. Healing meetings. We also have workers meetings, where those who are serving in church or ministers, we call them separately. Like Acts 20, 17, when Paul called the elders of the church. Notice again that the Bible has letters written, the New Testament has letters written to just Christian leaders. Titus. First and Second Timothy, Titus. They notice that in virtually every letter, there's a portion for leaders. So that means there are special instructions for leaders. Second John is to a woman pastor. Third John is to Gaius, an elder. That's a pastor. Philemon is also a pastor. So Philemon, Second and Third John, pay attention here, First and Second Timothy, and Titus, six letters dedicated to leaders. Six. Apart from the fact that when you read Romans, there are portions for those who are in leadership. When you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you go on and on. Then look at the book of Revelation. Revelation 2 and 3 is to the angel of the churches. Write and say. Which means that portion of the book of Revelation is for those who are in leadership. So there are meetings like that that are dedicated for those who serve and in leadership. Now, there's another kind of meeting also called the Holy Ghost meetings. In the Holy Ghost meetings, or in the Holy Ghost meetings, pardon me, we have the gifts of the Spirit in demonstration. Which means that's the primary thing that we see. The moving of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit in demonstration. Now, a typical one, because we're going to have one today, amen. A typical one is in the book of Acts. Or can be found in the book of Acts. A Holy Ghost meeting. Now, I learned that from Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, because I didn't know what it was. But there are and sometimes, you know, when I was a younger Christian, thank God for those who taught us, and we're always very grateful. But there were many things that were not explained. For example, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I got born again about 10:15 or 10:20 in the morning. I know the very spot where I got saved. I took someone there recently. And then between 10 and 15 minutes, they just laid hands on me and got me filled with the Holy Spirit. And I began to speak with tongues. I always say, if they had waited one extra day, I would have asked questions. Because I asked the question afterwards, what is this tongues thing? They said, is your prayer language. I felt I was praying before it. And they said, you know, I said, why must I speak in tongues? I don't know. Said, because Satan will be confused. I kind of felt two of us have been confused because I'm also confused. Maybe I'm the Satan here. Because I didn't get any explanation. Nobody really. And you know, I remember because of that, and I went for one camp. I think it was 2 or 3 months after. A camp by a denomination in Nigeria. And the person preaching, first of all, delegitimized my speaking in tongues. I was in the audience. He let me know that it was not me speaking in tongues. Said no, that before I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had to cleanse myself. I knew I did not cleanse myself. Said I had to get the second work of grace to sanctify. That in that second work of grace, I have to deal with the root of sin. I couldn't have done that in 15 minutes. But I knew in my spirit. I was sharing the other day. I said, there's something about the inward with you. You just know, I may not have an explanation, but it wasn't the flesh. I may not have an explanation, but I knew it wasn't the flesh. I couldn't explain it, but I knew. So I just had to shut my tongues in that sense, or else it could take me out for deliverance. I didn't look like somebody who could speak in tongues. I knew. Just like the first time I saw a brother, a friend of mine, rejoice in the Holy Ghost. I never seen anyone like that. He began to laugh. He began to leap. Now, I didn't have any scripture. I'd never even read it or found it. But in my spirit, I was too sure. This is not the devil. Praise God. Just like 31 years ago when I got healed of an incurable disease. I just heard it in a song. I didn't even know where the verse was. I didn't question the verse. I just, you are the Lord that healed me. I don't know where it was. I know that it will be somewhere, Sha. And that's all I said, Lord, I know you healed me. I just knew in my spirit. See, if you're born again, in your spirit, you know. Praise God. Say, in my spirit, I know. If you're born again. Now, it's not everything that your head will always grasp all the time. The things you just know. You know it in your heart. You just know in my spirit. I'm born again. I'm born again. I told you, when I got saved also, I had this godfather. We call him godfather like a mentor. A very popular Nigerian because of my dad's friend, but he appeared to be very successful. He was, not that I appeared, he was very successful. He had, so I tried to pattern things after him. I was very young. So I'll go to him, just sit down, listen to him. And he liked me to read because he'll give me a book to read for everybody. He said, I like the way you read, how you read. So it was my mentor. So when I got saved, my dad or so told him, so they laughed over it. And then I came to his house. Then he said, you know, I laughed. I heard you have been doing that born again thing. And I was scared. I didn't even know what born again was. I couldn't explain it. So he said, do you know, he didn't ask me Bible questions. Me, that the only Bible I had was one green Bible like that, that had a palm tree. Do you know that Bible? Palm tree in front. I had white lining like this. I used to, till today, if I see that Bible with you, I say I know a serious Christian. If I see it with you, I just say, this one is not a serious Christian. Don't mind my carnality. So, he just said to me, he said, do you know this? He was asking me Bible questions. I said, no. He said, there's nothing called born again. He said, Jesus said that statement because of so and so. I didn't even know why Jesus, I didn't even say, said Nicodemus. I said, who is Nicodemus? I was just a new convert. He said, Nicodemus, do you know that when Jesus went to Egypt, he did this one? He went to Egypt. Oh, that's true. I've heard that one in Christmas story. Do you know this one happened? That one happened? Then he said that, do you know that Jesus wrote on the floor? They told me he wrote and wrote. He said, you know what he wrote? I didn't even know he wrote. He said he wrote on the floor. I said, do you know he used clay? Clay? Everything was just confusing. Where is this, right? Really, is this from? From my Bible. So he said, forget all those things. And he told me what to do. I left his room confused here. But deep down, no. I'm born again. I knew something happened to me. I knew I got the life of God. I couldn't explain it, but I knew. So years down the line, I went to meet him myself. Oh, yeah. So I came to see him. He said, what's it? I said, let's get back to that thing we spoke about. He said, oh. So I began to engage him. He said, you are now on fire. I said, yeah. I said, Uncle, like you, I need you to be born again. He said, what do you mean? I said, I need you to be born again. Yeah. So he said, well, you know, these things you are saying. I said, no. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Bible says. So he said, He just kept quiet. I think about 10 years after or so. So his wife now called. No, I went to check him. I think the wife now said, I need you to pray for our family. He said, yes, help me mentor my children. I smiled. And now, he now asked me to be the mentor of his own children so that they can be serving God like you. Praise the Lord. But where it started from was an inward witness. Glory to God. You recognize the move of the Spirit. So I recognize the move of the Spirit. You know, I was talking to a friend. We're talking about another minister. Now that minister, we don't see eye to eye in many things doctrinally. But I said to him, I said, when I saw it, I said, I may not like the method, but I know in my heart, God told him to do it. He said, initially my friend said, well, later on he said, I agree with you. I said, no, I knew. I may not, agree with you. You know, in fact, what you are doing may have some doctrinal flaws in there, but I'm sure. I said, I know. I just know. So you are born again. You recognize the move of the Spirit. Don't allow your head, is that clear? To dictate. There are some things, it will take a while. See, the human mind is very slow when it comes to spiritual things. It catches up after a while. So do not think that your head has to get a hold of it. You see, if God will wait for us, for our head to get a hold of it, there's practically nothing we are going to be able to do. But you have the Holy Ghost. Say, I've got the Holy Ghost. Say again, I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Ghost. And just like that, you know, naturally in life, that's how God leads you. You hear me? That's how he leads you. You'll be able to exactly process it thoroughly, but deep down your spirit, I know inside. There's God speaking to me. I know. You know, he wants you to still understand it, no doubt, but inside. The terms like that, maybe pastors just put you say, That's it. Then you'll catch up. But in your spirit, because you have to realize that you are a supernatural person. You are a spiritual being. Is that clear? And you can recognize things. There was a guy like that. I just knew. No, of course, this was gifts of the Spirit. I just knew that something was demonic about it. People didn't get it. He just changed 24/7. I mean, to 360 degree. This was a guy who, you know, we were serving God together, just changed. And so someone said, I don't know, he has different beliefs. I said, it's not a different belief. It's a demonic thing. Now, I didn't exactly have the answers. I just said, now this was a guy who was living with me. I said, it's demonic. Sometimes some Christians are so careless. They don't know that sometimes Satan uses logic. You know, look at what John said. He said, believe not every spirit. 1 John 4:1. Which means spirits want to be believed. Now, how do you make someone believe something? You provide evidence. Now, Satan will stay in the realm of reasoning with you. So, he will get you to reason with him. Now, you will not see anything wrong. But, this is very logical now. And yet, it's the devil getting to convince you about something. So, I said, this is demonic. The guys around me were feeling, well, sure. I said, no. That will find the source later. The guy now started doing some strange things. I mean, strange things. One day, and I went to check him. As I went to his house, he just was just upset. He was just, you know, what I say, like, please, my life is different now. I don't want anybody to come and listen. You know, I don't even say anything, you know. He started preaching a sermon to me. No. You see, I'm calling a different part now. And I'm so happy. I'm happy, you know. And he just became very hostile. So I said, I just put a smile. Then he said he was coming. I think he wanted to get me something. So I said, in the name of Jesus, before, as he left the room, I said, you evil spirit, stop your operations. Cease in your maneuvers. You won't come back with him into this room. Not again. As he entered, he started smiling. I said, Roshego, thank you so much, oh. I know that. It just changed. We sat down and he listened. And I left. You know, the next time I saw him, he was just behaving himself. But every other person told me that he would just act cold. I said, I told you, there's an evil spirit that you are not seeing. Later on, he now came out. In fact, he has written his testimony on Facebook before. I won't just give you the details. And he said, you know, that he had this lady that he liked. And because of that relationship, you know, she got him into something very, very, very spiritual. And that was it. So I said to them, it's an influence. You know, people can get influences by association. Yeah. By association. It'll just come around you. Some of us in our workspace and workplace, we don't know how to stay sensitive in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. You know, we don't know how to say sensitive in the Holy Ghost. I was sharing it the other day. Maybe I'll do it again this afternoon, the second service. Brother Hagin used to talk about counterattack of the enemy. And that's why sometimes I'm not so keen at having people come out to share testimonies. I'd rather have somebody who is well established in the faith. See, someone can get healed now and lose the healing at the door. I mean at the door. You know, parable of the sower, Jesus said that Satan came out immediately. Immediately. Because he didn't understand. So I usually allow people, maybe when you understand it, and you can feed your faith, as it were, strong. But when you just go, hey God, I thank God for what he has done. And then that's all. And they don't know this could be a counter attack. You know, when Jesus was tempted of the devil, Luke said that Satan left him for a season. You know, Satan came to Jesus up till the cross. Up till the cross. That is up till the cross. From the time he was born, right? From the time he was born. When Herod just became unsettled. Till the cross. Also the church, you know, as they were preaching and preaching, by the third and fourth chapter, the rulers were already angry. And believers have to be smart. So, listen. Jesus gave that parable that an evil spirit was cast out of a man. He went about seeking for it, then came back and saw that, this place is for rent. Nobody there here. The police. He just also and so and co. Come and take the place. He now went to call seven wicked spirits. Let's come in here. That's counterattack. And we must know how to be strong in faith when we have received something of God. You know, in Acts 13, they were fasting and praying, and God spoke to them in verse 2. By verse 3, they didn't stop. So they said, glory, God spoke to us. They continue fasting and praying. And that's being spiritually smart and intelligent. Some of us should, in our workspace, we must know how to be filled with the Spirit. As we are intelligent, you know, doing our work and all that, being industrious, enterprising, you must also be filled with the Spirit. So that you know how to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. Don't forget, do you know that when you come to the service and we are praying, do you know you don't necessarily, if you're a believer, you just start praying. That's how spiritual things are. Anywhere, if it's also negative, it's the same thing. Someone told me how they advertise songs. I listened very well. The person works in, you know, they do a lot of marketing. He said, all they do is they'll go and meet people who are restaurants, bars, eateries, and they'll maybe give them something. And just make them be playing the thing. That they will just ensure that all of us are conscious. Some of those lyrics can be just, can be horrible, terrible. But we'll just find ourselves. Sometimes just to get in your consciousness. You know? So things around you are not as neutral as you think. No. That's why you must be filled with the Spirit all the time. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And more so, having people living in your house and they're not filled with the Holy Ghost is not a good one. No. Man is a product of what? Influence. There's nothing you are today. There's nothing you are doing. Even the way you are seated now, the way you are looking at me, the way you were influenced. There's no original anywhere. You are born original. That one are motivational quotes. You are not any original. So we are all a product of influence. So there's such a thing as being spiritually sensible. I started by saying, I just knew this is of God. 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 There are many of you here who, see, you need to clear anxiety and doubt in your head. To know that God leads you. Sometimes you say, God actually leads you. Is that clear? Just know that God, say God, raise your hand, say God leads me. Say I'm confident that God leads me. Amen. I say that often to myself. I know He leads me. I've never believed in coincidence. No. I'm led by God's Spirit. Even when I didn't get as conscious, it's God leading me. I say it all the time. He leads me all the time. Even when I err and make errors, He still leads me in it. So there's no, it's coincidental. It's not coincidental. God leads you. And when He does it in a way that you will be able to follow it. That's why at times He will use somebody you can listen to. In a way that you'll be able to follow it. So God leads you. So we are spiritually smart. Say we are spiritually smart. Say it again. Spiritually smart. You don't have to be, you know, some people think the opposite of spiritually smart is to be naturally smart. That's not true. I have a particular friend who is a genius. When you say a genius, he's a genius. We knew from school that this guy was a genius. He's still a genius. He will remain a genius. You know, there are some guys like that. You know, they were just genius in secondary school, university. They became genies. This one is a genius, 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 genius. He ran an OND, an HND program with a degree program. That means he was in the Polytechnic and university at the same time. He came out with distinction and first class at the same time. You know what I mean? All of us now just one. And we're going for exam prayer day. You know, he's a genius. And a genius, genius. I mean, a genius in any level. We all know that he's a genius. But you know something about him also? He's a preacher. And when it comes to the things of God, he's also very intelligent. I mean, there was one guy who was forming atheist. Because he read something about, the guy, he had maybe industrial chemistry. or something. I said, come. What did he even need? I'll take you to somebody who is one of the topmost authorities in nuclear energy in the world. I said, now go and meet this person. Let me see whether your atheism can succeed. What science do you even know? Do you know that atheism is something demons do not even try? The Bible says demons believe. It's too stupid. The demons even believe. You, say, go and meet someone. What do you know? The people you are reading after, they listen to this person. So, you don't have to be dull naturally. No, you don't have to be. If I was telling some preachers that I trained in a Bible college, I told them, I said, I believe that pastors, those who study the Bible, should also learn logic. So that when, because when you think on the word of God, it's thinking. You should be able to think as well. So be spiritually smart. Is that clear? The whole world, we've seen it. There's a supernatural context of this whole world, right? So you must be supernatural also in your thinking. Brother Hagin calls it the best of two worlds, where you can be in the natural and the supernatural. Hallelujah. Say, I'm spiritually intelligent. Now watch this. Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you an illiterate. Now, he now spoke to the whole church. He says, I know that you were Gentiles, verse 2, carried away by these dumb idols wherein we were led. Then he says, for no man by the Spirit of God calling Jesus across, verse 3, and no man can say that Jesus is loved by the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of administration but the same Lord. That's what services. Verse 6 says, there are diversities of operations, the same God that worketh all in all. Verse 7, but what? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? 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 Every man to profit without. Say, I have received, or I have been given the manifestation of the Spirit. That word manifestation means, is the other word for naked. That means there's nothing else left. So, which means that when it comes to the Holy Ghost, God gave you everything. Peter actually said, I'll pour out of my Spirit, quoting from Joel, Joel 2:28 to 30, Acts 2:16 through to 21. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Now listen, how come some of us do not walk in the manifestation? Now, let me ask this question. John G. Lake used to be a preacher of the 19th to 20th century, a great man of God. John G. Lake was so full of God's power in South Africa. Some people thought he was lying with the testimonies. So they now sent journalists to go and check what he was claiming. The journalists now came back and reported that actually, now that was in Spokane, sorry. They now said he's actually understating what is happening there. There was a time they had this particular flu and virus that just by mere contact, you will get it and people were dying. He now asked them to put the thing right in his skin and he died. He had such demonstrations of God's power. John G. Lake said that electricity is God's power in the natural. That the, what he called the anointing of the Spirit is just like electricity. That, you know, what's electricity? It's actually nature being turned into energy. Electricity, you see people say there's wind, they can use water, they can use sunlight, they can use many things. The same natural resources that we all use. I mean, when they say Nigeria is having issues with power supply, I'm wondering, it's not power supply, it's brain supply. We have everything. We have wind. We have everything. We have coal. We have water. We have just everything to have a 24-hour power supply. So it's not power that is the problem. You know, it's something else that is the problem. But let me leave that out of my sermon. You know, before some of you who are working for the Samsung DC are upset. Probably something DC, you know, are upset. You know, in my estate, they always send a text every day, we are sorry. I said, don't bother sending it. Let's just know how many hours in the day you are going to be sorry ahead of time. So that we are sorry, this has, don't bother. Just let us know that every day, at least for 5 hours, you will be sorry. So I'll know when are your sorry hours. So that I will be ready for your sorry hours. You know, I've even said what I only want to say. It is said. So, you know, now do you know that a place can be without electricity, but they have wind. They have water. They don't have power. No, they actually have power. They just don't know. They don't know how to channel it. How to put it in the right place. They may not be aware. Now, for example, I believe Nigeria is aware, but have we used it? So, you can have that manifestation and not know. And you'll be crying, oh God, for what are me, oh Jesus, for what are me, oh Baba. Someone that lives inside you. For what are me, oh, that's touch me, oh Jesus. So and they were singing songs like that. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Oh Lord, come down. You know, come down, come down. You know? And they'll be crying, oh Lord, come down, come down, come down. Now, it will take them like 2 hours. They now believe he has come down. That's if they have time. Then he has now come down. Now, imagine somebody knew that he has always been down. You know, that one will get the results earlier. Right? Both of them will still get results though, because God will actually still come down. At least to your level. You know, that's something about God. No matter how ignorant you are, he will come down to your level. Oh Lord, come down and manifest your power. Oh Lord, come down. Brethren, you are not in a chicken. Oh Lord, come down and manifest your power. Oh Lord, and you just say, okay, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down. You tap someone and say, ah, oh Lord, give more and manifest your power. We are waiting, oh, we are waiting. You know, but there are those who said, well, we have received the manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have received the man. I had a friend. You see my friend. He used to be in the ministry. So I just noticed one day he wasn't speaking in tongues. I didn't notice because I'd known him for 4 years before. This was 96. I said, bro, Solo, what's going on? He said, he's been trying to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, since when? He said, he got born again in 86. 10 years. 10. That's 10 times 365. Ha! Even if you are going to tarry, those who tarry for 7 days. Like someone says, it's Job. If you are New Testament Job, how many months was Job's own? Your own has become decades. Ha! Like someone will say, yeah, can you show me up? Some people, they have used it for rice and bread. Do you understand? That means suffering is not like stew. People have been using it as stew. They even put vegetables inside. I said, look, 10 years. He said, he's just waiting. Waiting for what? He said, the Bible says, you tarry. I said, he's in Jerusalem. Did you go to Jerusalem? You don't even have passports. No. The Holy Ghost is with you. He's here now. Yeah. Hallelujah. I just need to know how to cooperate. How to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Every born again man, every child of God has the Holy Ghost. They just need to cooperate in what is called being filled with the Spirit. Just cooperate and yield to the Holy Ghost. That's all. Just like that electricity. Know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. I'll share my own experience. I just told you that I spoke in tongues. Sometimes I'll stop and start. I was a bit unsure. I'll speak in tongues. Then, you know, the way we were taught was like, is when there's a manifestation. You know, I was never told that I could just be in my room and pray in tongues. So we'll just be, say, oh, the Holy Ghost is now, let us now begin to pray in our prayer. Let's now begin to, we pray. Then we stop. So after a while, you know, I was a bit unsure. You know, and they'll say, no, if you're speaking in tongues and you have committed a sin, that tongue is contaminated. You know, those kind of things. So, I now saw something by Richard Bonnke, just a tract. I read it. I talked about baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. And I kind of said, hey, this is it. Then someone now gave me White Tongues by Kenneth Hagin. That just cleared everything. at once for me. Then I moved to just knowing that my tongues were of God. See, someone said, you know, you just spoke the interpretation. I didn't even know. He said, you just spoke the interpretation. I said, what? He said, what you did now? Do you know he gave the interpretation? I said, I didn't know. He said, you did. He said, how I know you did was, you actually gave a word of wisdom. I said, what is word of wisdom? You know? The word of wisdom. Yeah. He said, you said something to me that I needed to hear. I said, hey. He said, that was not just what you did. Ah, there's still more. He said, yes. You actually gave a word of knowledge. I said, I thought knowledge and wisdom are the same thing. He said, no. I said, okay. He said, that shows that those gifts are working in your life. It too didn't help me so much. He said, that means God has given you those special gifts. You know, at least I moved from, now small, you will get to promised land. I moved from just speaking the tongues and not knowing what it is to interpret. Hey, so I said, I have tongues, I have interpretation, I have word of knowledge. Four. Me? This was a boy. Four. You know, then someone else said to me, he said, do you know that when tongues are interpreted, it's prophecy? You know, and you know, sometimes we just need someone to help us to see that manifestation. Now I'm here to show you. You have that manifestation. You have that manifestation. It's not today that it came. The moment you are born again, the Holy Ghost was given. Now when hands are laid on you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you yielded to the moving of the Spirit. Now we need to do more. Hallelujah. Now, you know, from that point, I now began to have more demonstrations. Usually, it's by being around people, and then, you know, that demonstration of the Holy Ghost will just come forth. Then from there, I started seeing things in the Spirit. Now, one thing I want to share with us just before we have Holy Ghost, because we're going to, I started seeing things in the Spirit. Sometimes just briefly, until a friend of mine, he just said, it was a year my senior in secondary school, and we're close. He just said to me, then I used to use some very thick glasses, you know, thick enough to be the windscreen of an airplane. That means it can hold the wind, you know. And then he said, today I'm going to take it from you. And he took it. Then he said, I'm going to replace it with something. What's my friend though? He said, you are now going to be seeing things more in the Spirit. So it's going to be an evidence that you are seeing. And he laid hands on me. I only found myself on the bed because he had to carry me to the bed. I was in a trance. It was a friend who did. Now, why was I able to do that? Because I honored him. I respected him. There are some of us here. Your wife could have been of a greater blessing to you if you saw her in as who she is in Christ. Same as your husband, even your children, and your friends, and family. We need to see people the way they are. See, everybody who is in this meeting now, right, is qualified to bless you. Everybody. Everybody here now is qualified to bless you because they are born again. They've got the Holy Ghost. Now, where is the connection? The connection is to see them that way. It's to see them that way. To see them in that light. Hallelujah. To see them in that light. In that light. Now, look at Paul in 1 Corinthians. He took so long to talk to them about unity. Now, Corinth was a very funny, interesting city. It's like Lagos. Corinth had different cultures, nations there. So people always had a cause to be divided. Either by tribe or by class. There was just a reason to be divided. So that was why he had to be talking to them about be one. It now came into the meetings. The ridge, the different tribes. You see, just like Nigeria, just like Lagos. Just like many of those cities like that. If we want to see the greater demonstration of God's Spirit, we will learn to see ourselves first in Christ. Then, what happened on the day of Pentecost? Look at what happened. Look at Acts 2. I'll close here. Acts 2. Acts 2. Say, we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. Say it. Say, we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. Look at that Acts 2. Now, he said, look at verse 4. Notice something. He says, they were all what? Filled. Right? They were all, right? That's like 120. They were all, right? Now look at verse 3. He sat upon each of them. Right? Look at verse 2. It filled all the house where they were seated. So, something happened in the meeting to a few people, most people, everyone. Right? Now, what was the key? Look at verse 1. Verse 1 is the key. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all where? In one place, in one accord. That's the key there. Everyone had their mind on the same thing. Everyone prayed about the same thing. Everyone wanted the same thing. There's something also, I was going to share this in the second service, maybe I'll just say it now. Do you know that Jesus said this in Matthew 5? That should be verse, is it 6? He said, blessed are they that hunger, right? And thirst after righteousness. Yeah. For they shall be filled. That means that to be thirsty is God's blessing. You know, now, I'm a very choosy person when it comes to food. I'm choosy. I am choosy. Even myself, I know my own too much. I like stew made that day. I like it that day. That very day. There's a place I eat in Ibadan. I love that place. It's called Fanawole. I took my friends there. We're going to preach somewhere in Lesa. When I took them there, they said, Baba, we must come back to this place tomorrow. I said, we're coming back. That place, eh? You know? Why? Because the thing is always fresh. You know, Ibadan's Amala is, it's divine. There is no match in the world. When you eat it, your life will never remain the same. You know? I knew that place. And I said, I heard there's so and so place. Someone took me there. So a pastor in this church. He took his pastor to a place that the pastor has not left the place. I said, I said, pastor. He said, you keep coming back when you eat this Amala. Now, I grew up in Ibadan, so I know Amala is Ibadan's identity. But this one was different. And I like it because it was so fresh. It's right there that they will cook it. And the thing will be hot. You know, when Ibadan, get up. Do you understand? I grew up in Ibadan. So I always saw people cook. I used to eat somewhere, they call it the Abadele. They will cook right there. They used to call me Dele Boy. The thing is fresh. But you see, I'm very choosy. I could taste food and say, I don't like it. The moment that you see me, and I'm taking my drink in the food, I've signed out on that food. If I start taking the meat a lot, something like my mom almost killed me over. When I eat meat first, boom! See, you're a thief. So, if I take the meat first, I've signed out. But there are if I reserve the meat, whoa. So I can be choosy. Now, I can be very choosy, very, very choosy with food. Very, very choosy. But when I'm fasting, it's when I'm done eating that I'll know the taste. Because I'm hungry. Is the food good? I'm eating it. I'm first hungry. So, I remember one time we went somewhere in Bauchi, me and a missionary team. We laughed ourselves to the place and we were very hungry. Everybody was hungry. We were so hungry. They now gave us one meal. We are not eating for about 1.5 to 2 days. I don't know what the meal is till today. I don't know what it is. But I finished it. I said it won't kill me. But I'm so hungry. So it's when you are not hungry for the things of God that you say, what's the time? Are we not late? Should I be? You are not hungry. And it's not good. If you go to a doctor, say, when last did you eat? Say, well, I've not been hungry for the past 6 days. You just start giving you injection. How can you not be hungry? How can you have a Christian who is not hungry for the things of the Spirit? Now, disease, is a serious disease. Jesus said, you are blessed when you are hungry. Say, I'm hungry. For the things of God. For the move of God. I am thirsty. You have to be. You have to be thirsty and hungry for the move of God. Now here, we're thirsty and hungry to have tongues and interpretation. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. What's tongues and interpretation? It means that you give a tongue and then you give the meaning in English or your language, your native natural language. What is a prophecy? A prophecy is to speak forth God's mind to another person. What's a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge, when God shows you something happening to someone or has happened to the person, that's not prophecy. That's a word of knowledge. What's a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is when you say something about the future to give guidance and direction. What is discerning of spirits? Is when you hear, see, or sense something in the spirit world, then you just know, I sense something. I saw something. What is the gift of faith? The gift of faith is when you receive a miracle on behalf of someone else. It's not you that needs it, but somehow the faith of God comes so that you can receive for someone. What is a miracle? A miracle is when something creative happens. Something creative or an intrusion into nature so that the natural course of things is ceased, stopped, or changed. What is the gift of healing? It's when a diseased part of someone's body recovers. Is also restored if it's a miracle. And it's replenished. You know, all of those things are here now. You know, all of those things are here now. And we walk in them. Stand to your feet. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. We are hungry. See, I'm hungry. You know, like that song says, with an hunger to see your glory fill the earth. Let's just speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Now, hold on. Those of you who are going out, wait. Lock the doors. This is the wrong time to go out. Shut the doors. It's the wrong time. Let's be sensitive, smart. It's not the time to go to the restroom. No, don't do that. I've warned you about that. I'll tell you the story again. 2001, I went to minister somewhere. Just before that evening, before I got to the meeting, God showed me a vision. That vision, there was a guy. He got, as I was preaching, he just came in. He came to the right side of the auditorium. And when he did, God said, this is happening to his life. He's been there for years. And it will also linger for many more years. I've never given the details before and I won't. And he said, you ought to tell him this. Then he will find the solution. But he will not wait. As soon as you start to minister, he will get up and go. And I saw him in that vision. I saw the shirt he wore. I saw everything. I was a bit disturbed. I called the pastor. I said, God showed me so and so. He said, okay. And, you know, I didn't give him all the details. As the meeting started, it was a not too well-lit room. As I was preaching, some of our pastors were in the meeting. I told them too. As I was preaching, I was sharing. The guy kept saying, praise God. Yes, glory. And I saw him. And I felt like telling him, oh boy, my Lord, don't go. You know, don't go. As soon as I said, let's get up, just like I did, he just walked out. Why did God show me that? Some people, they don't know that the things of God are timed. There are some things, it's for that day. It's for that time. Jesus came to the disciples. He said, can't you pray with me for an hour? They slept. He came again. The time he came back again, he said, sleep on. That time has passed. He says, pray so you won't enter into temptation. They all eventually fell. If they had prayed at the right time, they won't have. You don't have the time. So when, be careful, those are things to be smart, spiritually speaking. I've showed you my own story, how I went to a meeting and I felt I shouldn't go for that session, that I can get the CDs. I convinced myself because I was tired. Just like this morning, I came back, if I didn't sleep until 3 a.m., I was up again past 5. I'm here. I could have said, okay, let me have someone else take the service. Since I had a conference again in the evening, but no. No. I love you more than that anyway. So, I got to the meeting grudgingly. I told myself, you know, I'm tired now. How would I go to the service? I got finished preaching here. And I traveled almost 16 hours. So I was tired. I did first and second service here. I spoke to workers. I traveled for that meeting I go for every year. I got there. As I got there, my bag. If I felt that, how would I take my whole bag to the auditorium? I can't. And I was feeling like a big guy, you know. I just dropped my bag at the lobby.
Do you know, as I stepped in, the minister said, there's a pastor from Nigeria. Ah. Now, that had happened to me before. I said, step forward. Somebody else came out. It was also a Nigerian. The minister said, are you a pastor from Nigeria or a Nigerian pastor? The guy said, I'm a Nigerian pastor. I'm in the UK. He said, not you. I was the only person like that. And that is why today, I believe some things are working in my life, because I was there at the right time. Don't ever give God time. You are not his controller. Is that clear? We have the Holy Ghost here. And we are yielding to the Holy Ghost. We are flowing with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in other tongues.